The latest on the wild stock market swings.
And what this big roller coaster ride means.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update, our podcast from Marketplace.org. It is Tuesday, the 9th of August.
Coming up, where are investors going for relief?
If politicians can't rescue us from the latest economic crisis, can the Fed?
And later, yes. Yes, you can. Eat yourself to a certain level of happiness.
Good.
That's ahead on the market, because I think we're all going to need it. That's ahead on the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
So, what's going on? Standard & Poor's downgrades the U.S. credit rating, and markets everywhere go berserk.
Let's get some analysis first with our regular Tuesday guest, Julie Niemann of Smith Moore & Company. She's with us from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, Julie, what to make of this volatility in the markets?
Well, investors are scared to debt. The mantra for institutional investors is, when in doubt, you get out. So the pattern is, after a typical stock market wreck, the chronically optimistic will do some bargain buying. That affords the nervous a chance to dump their riskier holdings. We're going to see that pattern probably play out here. So up today, but then you're going to get more selling pressure.
Okay, what about big picture? If we were to look back at this week a year from now, what do you think we will say it was all about?
Well, the big thing is it all goes back to the cause, and that was debt. There was a lot of fraud. It was Wall Street inundated the world with trillions of dollars in junk, which, by the way, was rated AAA by Moody's and Standard & Poor's, solid quality investments, all based on real estate. But the economy was based on this real estate fraud. European, Japan, America, everybody has fundamental bad problems, but this fraud provided the tipping point. And when you bail out the banks, the problem becomes the government's problem, namely ours. So as citizens and taxpayers, when these large banks fail, the recession hits, and the citizens don't spend, they just basically save. So you can stimulate all you want, but no government policy can change that. And the sheer magnitude and persistence of this slide since 2008 says it's a depression. So the citizen consumer wants proof you're fixing things, or they're going to reasonably sit in their wallets.
Julie, if this is a depression, as you say, what can be done?
Well, the Fed meets today, and the market's hoping for the miracle fix, which the president really couldn't offer yesterday. They're out of good options. They can buy more treasuries, agency bonds, flood the financial system with cheap money as an incentive to borrow. It hasn't worked yet. It won't work now. And the reason is because consumers and nations already have too much debt and can't make the interest payments. The confidence to the system returns when policymakers put on the green eye shades and sharpen the pencils. Here, Greece, you owe us $1 million. It's $500,000 now. You can never pay it back anyway. So you take a look at what you can pay if you get your house in order. Italy, your debt has 6% coupon. Reduce it to 3% so you can pay. Ireland, your rates are reasonable. Instead of a 10-year debt, let's make it 20-year.
Right.
Everyone cuts back wasteful spending. But the consequences are awful. The banks collapse. Investment houses collapse. It is going to be very, very painful. But your choice is do it now, 3 to 4 years of pain, or delay it for 20 years like Japan.
Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith Moore & Company. Thanks as always.
You bet.
And as Julie said, some are looking to the Federal Reserve for help. And it just so happens the Fed has a meeting today. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich explains.
The Fed's Open Market Committee last met in June. Things weren't exactly swell, but Chairman Ben Bernanke struck a classic, cautiously optimistic tone.
The economic recovery appears to be proceeding at a moderate pace, though somewhat more slowly than the committee had expected. We expect the unemployment rate to continue to decline.
This time, it'll take a lot more than cautious optimism to lift our spirits. Karen Petru of Federal Financial Analytics says the S&P downgrade has messed with our heads for 3 days now. The Fed needs to administer a big old dose of it's not so bad.
This was the equivalent of S&P shouting fire in a crowded theater, and the Fed has got to figure out a way to calm people down. That's not its strong suit. It's never been good at doing that before.
The Fed's usual policy tools can't do much with interest rates already near zero. One significant thing the Fed could do is a third round of quantitative easing, where it buys bonds to pump money into the U.S. economy. But analysts say not to expect any major moves like that this afternoon. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Well, Europe has had a lot to say over the last few days. Markets have been all over the place reacting to the U.S., of course.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us now from London with more on the European reaction. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
How would you describe, I just mentioned what was going on in Germany, today's roller coaster ride we call the stock markets?
Incredibly volatile. I mean, many European markets opened higher this morning after Asian markets had recovered some of their losses overnight. But then we saw the Dow futures price plunge, and that took European markets down with it, like mountaineers all roped together falling off a cliff. They've since managed to find a toehold and claw back into positive territory. So, yes, very volatile.
What should we be hoping for, Stephen, to reassure folks and to calm these markets?
Investors want some sign that Europe and the US are dealing with their debt problems. Mike Lenhoff of stockbrokers Brewin Dolphin says investors are looking for clear direction.
The markets are really trying to, I guess, get their cue from some leadership, but in searching for it, it just isn't there. So in the absence of it all, the momentum for the moment is, and the traffic is one way.
And he says investors are now looking for leadership to the U.S. to that meeting by the Fed.
Well, we heard Jeff Horwich earlier talk about what the Fed could do. What are global investors hoping for out of that meeting?
Well, at the least, I think they want the Fed to make clear that U.S. interest rates will remain low for a considerable period of time, so the U.S. avoids slipping back into recession, which would be very damaging for the global economy.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Well, the downgrading by S&P continues, and a lot of states and cities are bracing for possible downgrades to their credit ratings. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Traders have a pet name for the municipal bond market, Muniland. And there's a saying in Muniland, cities and states can't have a higher credit rating than the country they're in. But there's disagreement over how much a downgrade could push up borrowing costs and how fast that could happen. Marilyn Cohen is president of Envision Capital Management.
The bond market, the muni market, isn't like the stock market. You won't see interest rates move up 3% in a week, not in muni land.
Cohen says borrowing costs will go up, but slowly, like a train chugging uphill. Other analysts think the train won't even leave the station. Tom Doe heads up Municipal Market Advisors. He says cities and states are just not building many new highways or schools in this tough economy. That means they aren't issuing as many bonds.
So there's less supply and there's still demand because investors are seeking the safety of municipals.
And the higher the demand goes, the less local and state governments will have to pay in interest. Doe doesn't see that changing anytime soon, no matter what S&P says. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
By the way, if you've got questions about how the current economic crisis affects you, we will be taking questions tomorrow with the answers on Marketplace Money this weekend. We've got details at our website, marketplace.org.
Looking for a lot of thoughts on that. The Labor Department said today, Jeremy, productivity fell in the latest quarter by a fraction of a percent, and it's the first back-to-back drop in productivity since 2008. Tokyo Electric said today it lost more than $7 billion in its April to June quarter. That's after agreeing to compensate victims of the Fukushima nuclear disaster following March's Japanese earthquake and tsunami.
Meanwhile, MGM Resorts, the largest casino operator in Las Vegas, posted a profit of $3.5 billion, but no thanks to its casinos in Sin City, which only saw revenue inching up just 1%, Steve. The real action, of course, is at the resorts in Macau, where Chinese gamblers have been betting 58% more this year than last year.
Wow. Now, you can follow our show on Twitter. There's no gamble. You're going to get exactly what you pay for, which is zero, a big goose egg, at Marketplace Radio.
And I am on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm at Radio Chio.
Well, Steve, in Idaho, the water company is asking the Idaho Public Utilities Commission to approve a rate increase for customers, a 20% rate increase. Yeah. The reason, Steve, is that people are using less water, so the company isn't making as much money. Now, the company has been sending people brochures for years with tips on how to use less water to save money. So I guess now they're getting what they were asking.
It's all water under the bridge, anyway.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Now the Marketplace Global Perspective. As we've talked about, many investors withdrew their money from the markets. Asian investors, too, are worried about another U.S. recession, so they're putting their money in safe havens. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
If you look beyond how the Asian markets did today, you'll see the biggest losers were Toyota, Sony, Samsung, all companies that export to the U.S. Asian investors are preparing for another U.S. recession.
There are certainly many folk in the market who think that's a very, very strong possibility.
Stephen Green is an economist at Standard Chartered Bank in Hong Kong. He says Asian investors are looking beyond the U.S. being downgraded. They're also nervous about tepid growth data from the U.S., the sovereign debt crisis in the EU, and...
Given the lack of momentum, given the lack of obvious stimulative policies, many in the markets are also skeptical that China has the ability to stimulate like it did in 2008.
China helped cushion the blow of the last recession with a $500 trillion stimulus package. Much of that money was wasted on poorly conceived real estate or transportation projects. And for many of those projects, the money won't be paid back. If there is another recession, say economists, China may not even be able to come to its own rescue. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
London's police commissioner today said there are no plans to call in the military after big riots there. There have been three nights of vandals and looters setting fires to buildings and stealing from businesses across parts of the city.
The rioters are mostly young people, Jeremy, who police are calling hooligans. And they're using technology to get in touch with one another and to plan their next attacks. Ian McKenzie is technology editor over at the BBC, and he joins us now from London. Hi, Ian.
Good morning.
We've heard that the rioters are using all different kinds of technologies to communicate and plan targets. Is that what's really going on?
Well, certainly this is what we've been hearing from a few senior police officers and senior politicians. They're calling this the social networking riots, Twitter in particular, and also the BlackBerry Messenger system being singled out as mechanisms that some of these rioters are using to incite others, to call in other people to come and join them, and also to coordinate their efforts when they're out on the street of an evening.
I imagine police have different technologies, too. Do they have a step up, do you think?
What we're seeing here, according to some of the experts that I've spoken to here, is a real turning of the tables, if you like, that in the past it's been police who've been able to communicate and coordinate in a very fast, dynamic way. But now young people have all of these technologies at their disposal to coordinate their movements. And in some senses, they're using that to outpace the police.
Have tech companies responded to this? Are they doing anything to help law enforcement?
Now, we have a piece of legislation which enables law enforcement to approach communications companies like BlackBerry and obtain subscriber information if it relates to criminality. But I've been speaking to a lawyer this morning who said they really would need specific identities. They can't just go out and do a trawl for everyone who's mentioning particular keywords.
The BBC's Ian McKenzie, the technology editor there. Ian, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, the president will be sitting down with industry executives to talk about some new rules of the road for the biggest vehicles on the road. New fuel efficiency standards will cover everything from large SUVs to 18-wheelers. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
While regular cars have had to get more fuel efficient, trucks haven't had to change.
Trucks today are some of the biggest fuel hogs on the highway. They average about 6.5 miles per gallon.
That's Donna Nair at the Union of Concerned Scientists. 3 years from now, every new big rig will have to use 20% less fuel. Nair says there's been barely any backlash.
Truckers are going to have more fuel-efficient options, and they're going to save a lot of money at the pump.
But Bill Visnick at Edmunds.com suspects another reason behind the lack of public outcry.
It's something that just everyone assumed was already there.
Turns out the U.S. has never had mileage targets for big trucks. No other country does, except Japan. The new rules cover other big vehicles, garbage trucks, school buses, delivery vans, heavy-duty pickups. Daniel Sperling wrote the book 2 Billion Cars.
Governments or companies that really run their trucks a lot, they're going to be very happy to buy the new ones.
He says fuel-efficient trucks will cost more, but they'll make up that cost in fuel savings in just a few years, much faster than regular cars. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, Jeremy, a group of Belgian scientists says fatty comfort foods help people feel better.
Of course they do.
Yes, doctors played really sad music and showed pictures of sad people to a group of volunteers and fed half of those people high-fat foods and the other half a placebo. I think that it was like some sort of saline solution or something like that. The people who ate the fatty foods stayed cheerful through the entire ordeal. The people who watched the sad and they ate the placebo, not so much. They got all depressed and sad. Researchers say it dates back to the Stone Age when fat was essential for survival. Survival, of course, is the mantra of the stock market these days. So given the latest happenings on Wall Street, I say go ahead and eat those French
eat
fries.
Eat to your heart's content.
Eat to your heart's content. Top it off with a chocolate milkshake if you like. It may, Jeremy, make the world a happier place.
You know, the thing that I have when I really need to feel good and just want to have anything is a bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, man. That is... Sometimes you just got to live it up.
Indeed, in Los Angeles, and not having a bacon cheeseburger today. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Steve Chiotakis. Enjoy your Tuesday. This is the Marketplace Midday Update.
And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.